Experience a coffee journey like no other with Spirits of Coffee. From hand roasting their premium beans to perfection, to aging them in a variety of carefully selected barrels, every step is meticulously crafted to bring you the ultimate coffee experience. Whether you prefer a bold, smoky profile or a smooth, velvety blend, Spirits of Coffee roast their beans to your exact specifications, ensuring that every cup is tailored to your taste. Indulge in the rich, nuanced flavors of Spirits of Coffee's barrel-aged coffees. From the bold complexities of their Brazilian barrel-aged beans to the refined elegance of their bourbon barrel blend, each sip is a symphony of flavors carefully curated to elevate your coffee experience to new heights. Head to spiritsofcoffee.com to place your order and join them embracing the art of coffee drinking with Spirits of Coffee. Use the code TASTEMASTERS10, that's right, TASTEMASTERS10, at checkout to enjoy 10% off your order and taste the difference for yourself. Don't just trust us, go ahead and try. With Spirits of Coffee, every sip is an adventure. Trust us when we say this will blow you away. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. Marcel, you are digging into this right now. What is this cake again?
So this is a corn cake, corn flour cake with coconut and cheese.
Mm. What kind of cheese was it again?
Parmesan.
Oh my God.
Well, that's this wonderful.
Creamy center.
It's a, you know, it's got a nice, you know, immediately cornbread, but then you get that little bit of coconut and that it's the cheese that makes it though.
Yeah. But it's not super, I was expecting like sugary coconut. It's not sugary coconut at all.
No, the coconut's just on top.
That cheese is wonderful.
And pears.
Mm. You Brazilians know how to cook. I tell you what.
We know. A little bit. This is like family thing. You know? Like every Sunday afternoon, all the grandparents or aunts and uncles sit down at the table. And this is what we do. Eat corn flour cake and drink coffee.
So this is a staple. This is a staple. All the time.
Yeah. You're going to find this everywhere in Brazil.
It goes well with the cake.
Mm. It does.
And the coffee pair as well, right?
Yeah. So we got to talk about this coffee real quick. Well, first off, we're here. I'm here with Mikey Rydell, Marcio Buffalo, in the house of Buffalo. And I pitched this idea to you a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And you said, I'll cook for you. And I say less. And we came here. We're supposed to be here with our ladies, but they're all down right now.
Yes.
It's ironic, but they're lost.
All right, it's going to be
lost. It's a guy show. Yeah. I'm sorry, but we're having a tea party right now.
Oh yeah, it's in a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Saturday morning.
Yeah. Wow. We're here to showcase Marcio's new project, The Spirits of Coffee. So, Marcio, let's go into that real quick. What is this new project of yours?
So this is my side project that I'm like 100% into it. There's no other people other than my family. So this is a very family. Driven company. My sister-in-law designed all the labels and doing all the marketing. Carla was like tasting coffee with me and I was tasting the booze. And then we were thinking about pairing how this coffee will go with this kind of booze and how they're going to complement or be different. So that was the idea to put a barrel-aged coffee beans company. It's a kind of not a lot of work. It's not an everyday company yet. One day I hope it will be. Mm. And we got green beans and put in barrels. Right now we have sugar house, bourbon, sugar house, rye, single barrel. We have Holystone gin.
Oh.
And one very, very specific barrel that we can talk about later. And we put green beans inside the barrels, let aged minimum 8 weeks. Some of these are already 16 to 20 weeks in the barrels. We roast it as we get orders, and you have a barrel-aged coffee bean.
Wow. How long? What's the turnover for that, for the coffee bean? 8 to 16 weeks? Well,
depends. I have some is 16, and I have some barrels that's still, like, aging, and I'll open with 20, 24 and smell.
So you just, like, set it and forget it, kind of put the beans in there?
And roll over every week.
So you do some rolls?
Every week. Every Friday, it's my roll date.
Is that your workout? I just imagine you just throwing barrels left and right.
Kind of like that, yeah. And then when I need it, I have a partnership with Urban Sailor Coffee, and they roast for me.
Yeah. Tyler and Archer are great people. Good humans. I love them.
Yeah.
The barrels, do they vary in wetness? Do you want them fairly wet so that the beans can totally get saturated, or do you like a little drier barrel?
No, very wet. The wetter is the better. Mm. I have some barrels that were very dry when I got it. You still get the flavor, but it's a different flavor. You get like, what you call like music, like high notes. You're going to get those high things. It's not a complex. It's more few and very noticeable touches of this or that. But when it's wet, you get the whole complexity.
Mm.
And also increase the humidity of the grain. So what happens is the more humid the grain is during the roasting, the longer we go with the Maillard reaction. So I get more chocolate, more caramel notes as I'm roasting versus a drier one. That's a very nice curve. When you see the curves on the roasting, you clearly can see the wettest get longer Maillard reaction. Mm. And the flavors get from that Maillard reaction, it's more chocolate, coffee, vanilla, and other notes that usually you won't get if it's too dry.
Does pressure play a factor in this?
No, it's not in the pressure, but humidity for sure.
Mm.
Is there a challenge finding matches with, good spirits with different types of beans and roast levels?
Yeah. What did we find out? It's rye barrels. We have two rye barrels. Rye barrels are very spicy. So if you already got a very like low spiciness coffee beans, it's a very nice complementary. So they go together. For example, if you get a Guatemalan or Mexican, they're low in spiciness.
Mm-hmm.
So they go well in those barrels and get a nice complement. And the other side, it's a very spicy coffee already and increase the spiciness. For example, the Java coffee, the Javanese coffee, it's very spicy already. But then we put in the dry to enhance the spiciness.
Mm.
So it can work in both ways.
So in the roasting process, you're losing some of what you've put into the beans through the barrel.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a fine line too, finding that level of roast so you're not killing all the flavor?
Mm-hmm. Especially when you get over fruity coffees. For example, Colombian, it's overly fruity. It's explosion of fruitiness and berry. It's huge. That one, if we go a little over roast, we go about 16 percentage of development, it's become too much and all the fruitiness goes away. All the barrel becomes more muted. So yeah, that one, it's like some of the coffee we have to go really low to low median roast.
Yeah, because if you go too much,
you lose almost everything.
Mm.
The only one that's keeping everything really at high roast levels is the decaf one.
Oh.
But the decaf Mexican already passed through a process of removing the caffeine that involved water, dry, reabsorption. So there's a long process that bean is manipulated so much that bean can handle higher roast levels and hold more flavors. So our decaf is the only one that goes medium high.
Oh, really?
So you make decaffeinated barrel-aged coffee?
Yes, a Mexican one in rye barrel.
What? Ooh. I need this in my life.
Yeah. So that become when I like about 5-7 years ago, if I drink coffee after 4, I'm not going to sleep.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I need to have some decaf, and now decaf sucks. Sorry, but
it does.
I haven't ever got a good decaf coffee. And then I like, well, if I'm going to make coffee and I'm going to put in barrels, let's select the best one.
Right.
And we work with a few suppliers of coffee. One of those are really big guy, and he's really kind. He sends a pound of coffee if you want to have like a sample. And he sent me more than 15 pounds of decaf ones. And we like roast all We taste all and we're like, okay, these two here are good ones. The rest sucks. So let's use the Mexican one. And there's a Brazilian decaf that's super good that's coming probably in the end of the year.
I like that. I never, Mike, have you heard of a decaf roasted barrel age?
No, bean? Not a decaf. Definitely not a decaf. Like, that's cool.
I feel like that's underrated. No one wants to do quality decaf anymore. And, well,
when you get the decaf beans, are those done by Urban Sailor or do you get it from the supplier pre-stripped?
The green ones I got from the supplier, the importer. So I get all my beans, I get green beans from the importers. And there is more than like, I don't know, 12,000 different coffees that I can choose from the guys.
It's a weird process too, right? It's like using CO2 or something to like sweat the caffeine out or something?
There's at least four different ways. The most common right now and becoming the most tasting batter, it's called Swiss water. So basically what they do, they soak the beans in water. So the water will penetrate the coffee bean and will extract caffeine and flavor and everything. So the water will be full of flavor and caffeine. So then you dry the coffee, get this water, and pass this water to a column that will made a metal that will strip and connect to all caffeine molecules.
Kind of like distilling in a way?
Kind of like distilling, but it's only like a column with metal. And this metal, it's something that caffeine will bind. And then the water will become caffeine-free, but full of flavors. So what they do right now, they dry out that coffee, and the coffee right now is zero humidity, and now you soak on that water back.
Soak right back
up. So now the water goes back to the coffee without caffeine.
So where does that caffeine go? That's what I want to know. Where does that caffeine go?
Something that gives you wings.
Oh, hey. I like
that. Yeah, I imagine they just package it and repurpose it for whatever they need.
So you have multiple sources of waste you can now benefit from.
Guarantee that's a really good way to extract caffeine and sell the caffeine product.
Interesting. Or if you want to do like a double, what's his like over caffeine? Because sometimes you go to like a Maverick and you see like a high caffeinated coffee bean.
It could be that you could re-soak some.
And put that caffeine back in.
And caffeine levels are, I mean, when you're in doing the roasting process, the more you roast, the more caffeine you're burning off.
You burn off, yeah.
So the lighter the roast, the more caffeine.
Exactly.
Ooh, good to know.
So like green coffee or what they call cinnamon coffee, they are super high in caffeine.
Good to know.
Yeah, and the darker you go, less caffeine.
So, yeah, but I like that boldness. I love that.
The boldness too. Mm. So, like, coming from Brazil, we drink like very dark black coffee, but we drink all day long because caffeine's really low.
Yeah, and I don't drink. I mean, definitely the caffeine's part of the draw, but I like a light roast, and I like the fruitiness of a light roast, and it works really well. I mean, I like a little splash of cream just to kill some of that acid, and I think, I mean, they're the perfect for me, and the extra caffeine is just a boost because, you know, I get my ass up at 3 a.m. So I need it.
Yeah, you are an early riser, my friend.
I'm the earliest riser.
I tell you what. This is awesome, this coffee, though, Marcio. This one.
This was.
We did a pour over on this.
This is a pour over, 180 degrees percolating first, and then 195 passing through. Proportion, I think, was 12 to 1. So 12 grams of water for 1 gram of coffee.
Okay.
Very light for a Brazilian palate. But still, it's very
pronounced.
You don't
want to wreck us? You don't want to destroy our palate right off the get?
Yeah, you and my wife are...
This is going to be the lightest one.
You're like a...
Oh, I'm so excited.
You're like a char coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but I think... Cause what's the barrel on this one again?
This was a single malt barrel from... Single malt whiskey from Sugar House, yes.
I just love that nose. I mean, you smell it all day. I mean, it's tasty. And this cake is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And you made it yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just a chef. Tell you what.
It was not just me. It was me and my wife, too. Mm. She cooks very well.
I mean, you know. Carla is my favorite Brazilian.
I know. I know. I'm okay with being the second.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you waking up, Mikey? Coffee's in your system?
Yes.
You ready to go?
This is not my first coffee of the day, but it's definitely my favorite.
Okay. Yeah.
It puts the coffee I had this morning to shame because Holly and I haven't upgraded our coffee game yet. We've upgraded our coffee bean in our game. I just taught her a few months ago how to French press properly. So she went from Keurig to French press. Because the Keurig.
Keurig is, it's awful.
It's the worst way to drink coffee. The second worst way to drink coffee. It's just, the first way is just get the coffee bean, throw it in the trash, and drink water. It's right there. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Corinna's the coffee snob in our house, and she's definitely acquired every way to steep a bean or leaf. I mean, we have every conceivable way of making coffee or tea.
Well, you brought the Bialetti, right?
I brought the Bialetti, and Corinna put me onto that. And it is, you know, it's an old, very old classic, but
I think it's perfect, like the 1906 or something?
Basic percolator.
Yeah.
It is. It makes my favorite coffees. Every bit of coffee I got from Marcio, I put in that Bialetti. I did it on the a press and the free pour. And I think the Bialetti just killed it because it's all pre-measured. I mean, you can add just a tiny little bit of extra water unless it gets over the pressure valve. But for the most part, it's the perfect ratio. You can only put so much.
Yeah.
You can only maximize the cradle where you put the grounds. And I think it's perfect. And it's quick. It is fairly quick.
I just learned about the Bialetti. Well, to learn to use one for Christmas, I was gifted one, and I haven't looked back. I love the Bialetti.
It's a really nice machine.
Yeah, and it's so nice simple. Tool.
Yeah, it's pressure and gravity.
And they come in all kinds of sizes.
And colors.
Yeah.
I saw a pink one. I almost ordered it. Oh, did you? Oh, my God.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's easy to nerd out on all this stuff because there's so much cool shit out there.
Mm-hmm. And now we, like, when you start drinking and tasting coffee, and before it was just like, oh, I want this bitter product that make me awake. Now it's like, oh, this is very chocolate and a little fruit and berry. Oh, this one is so really floral. It's so crazy, the flavors you can get from the coffee. And especially when you use the coffee to add to other things. For example, there's one of people in the industry that got my coffee for making espresso martinis.
Oh, awesome.
And they're going to have that barrel or the booze behind that's not common in coffee martinis. So you can use for other things.
Oh, yeah. That's
cool.
That's really cool.
Are there methods that you prefer for some coffees versus others? Like, do you like a pour over for this special blend or?
For Java, I will go for low percentage of like ratio. So pour overs or French press. For Brazilian and Ethiopian espresso, it's the best for me.
Hmm. Did you want more of those bitter flavors? Yeah.
Yeah. But although the espresso we do like high level of grain with low temperature water. So we get not that much of those burnt flavors. You get more of the bourbon. It's weird. You get the bourbon really high. Well, especially in the Ethiopian, you get this Irish cream kind of flavor from the coffee.
Yeah, because you just open that can of worms of barrel aging, and you can pull out certain liquors and certain spirits. Yeah,
or the one, which we can talk now. So I have one barrel, and this barrel, it's insane. So it was a small distillery in Kentucky. Just the barrel was bourbon. And there's this place in Maine called Bristol's Farm. They do maple, barrel-aged maple syrup. So they bought the barrel, barrel aged the maple, and sell that to their customers. These specific barrels they send to Bourbon County, to Goose Island, to make Bourbon County maple barrel aged beer that was aged for a year. That barrel went back to Bristol's Farm, and Bristol's Farm put another level of maple. So it was a maple barrel aged in whiskey maple stout.
What?
Yeah, it's this maple syrup here. And I got that barrel. And that barrel aged Colombian, ultra floral berry Colombian beans.
So when can we see that one?
We can try right now.
Oh, God, yes.
You've already made it?
No, we can try right now.
Absolutely. How long do you keep the beans on? How do you?
This was only nine weeks until I roast the first level, the first batch.
Yeah,
and right now it's about 14. So I have a little old bean. But
do you prefer a younger bean to the older bean? Have you seen a difference in that?
Yes. The younger one get more subtle notes, but more complex. The old beans, because it's going to get dry a little bit, so I get the high tones and less complexity, but more strong flavors. So this is the bean that I have right now. It's the young one. It's only 8 weeks.
You can tell that was probably a fairly wet barrel just by the consistency of that syrup is, it seems actually less thick than some of the straight maple syrups I've had. It looks really interesting. I love the color.
You should try it with the cake.
Oh! Yeah. Mikey, your hand went so fast. Yeah. I love that. I don't know how to open that. It's child proof. It's probably syrup proof.
It's syrup proof.
It is. It's that sticky syrup. I'm just trying.
There we go. This is really cool. How did you come across that barrel?
So I was looking for special barrels. So I have some interesting barrels I was looking at. And there's a company in Michigan that source really like hot sauce barrels, cognac barrels, stuff like that that I wanna try. And they have this barrel there. I'm like, yep, that would be an interesting one. It's more maple than it's whiskey, but still tastes a little bit of booze.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is just decadent. Wow, and it oddly works very well with the cheese in there. That is crazy.
I'm glad we got the crust because the crispiness of that little burnt crust.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn. That's good, Marcio. Holy cow. Like I said, you can cook for me anytime, homie.
Did you find that online or
on the website from the Bristol's Farm?
Man.
And they do a rum barrel age. They do Bourbon County, bourbon. And they did a cognac about a year ago.
I've had some of Mount High West's maple, barrel-aged maple, that you can actually buy it up at their Wanship distillery. And it's quite nice, but it's not as complex as that.
That's depth in that one.
I think you pull in some of those cocoa notes from the Imperial Stout. Quite damn delicious.
I'm not a syrup guy, but that's something I would...
Yeah, you get a little loss on the maple. It's not overly maple, but it's more like sweet, but all the other notes, the coconut, the oaky, it's quite delicious.
Wow.
I'm curious what those beans taste like now.
Well?
The colder
beans. So that's not what we just had, right?
Yeah.
No. I thought we were talking about the ones that were done in the barrel from...
Oh, yeah. Maracas all day.
So this is the clone. And this is what we're drinking right now. I thought this was the...
We were drinking the Brazilian.
That's the Brazilian. Yeah. This is the Colombian.
The Colombian on this maple barrel.
In the maple barrel.
Which you can make espresso right now.
Yes, you need to at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Mikey and I are chomping at the bit right now.
I'm really curious to try see what that one tastes like.
Yeah.
Which kind of espresso you guys want? Machine espresso or Italian?
Italian. Say less.
Sure.
Italian? Yeah. All right. Say less. Let's make it.
Game on.
Oh, my God. I'm going to, I don't know. I mean, while you're doing that, Marcio, I'm going to talk to Mikey for like 5 seconds.
Oh.
Well, Mikey.
Yeah, things are going downhill fast.
Welcome to the show. No, but because you've had a vast experience and a vast knowledge in Utah when it comes to, you know, beer, people putting things in beer like coffee. What's some of your favorite coffee beers you can remember and think of that stick out?
This is actually an excellent market to be in, because there's so many great local roasters that are providing, and there are a lot I was not even aware that people had relationships with. But you know, Epic, of course, is one of the kings of coffee beers. Their part of their portfolio is driven highly around their Big Bad Baptist series. So yeah, I'm very fond of those. The Son of a Baptist in particular, which is just a coffee stout, and I think they're your. I know they've used a couple different coffee roasters, but I've really enjoyed their Blue Copper blends.
Gotcha.
And of course, Level Crossing does some really excellent coffee
stuff.
They
do out of Level Crossing does the Mormon one, the
Jack Mormon. They do Jack Mormon coffee.
Jack Mormon, yeah.
And
that one's lovely. And then Utah Uncommon, yeah.
You know who had made my favorite damn coffee stout or coffee beer? I believe it was a coffee stout, was Rio Connolly. He did I think it was the Foreign Gentleman coffee stout at Proper. Rio, not a coffee guy.
That's right.
He does not really like to drink coffee. And ironically, he made my favorite coffee beer. And I'm just like, I don't know what you did. And I don't, you know, you probably tasted it and probably just went, meh, this is, you know, coffee beer I made. But he killed it. So I would say that first version of Foreign Gentleman Coffee Stout was the favorite that I'd ever had in this market. Good. Or anywhere.
I love that. Well, I mean, we're going to go grind some beans right now. So we're going to take a little break, grind some beans, because I want to try this coffee real bad.
You do.
Step into Keto's Brewing and immerse yourself in a world of impeccable craft brews and infectious positivity. With pinball machines aplenty and a welcoming atmosphere, every visit is an experience to cherish. And rumor has it, the beer at Keto's is better than ever. Each sip is a testament to their dedication to quality and innovation. Prepare your taste buds for a journey you will not forget. Whether you're seeking a midweek pick-me-up or a weekend relaxation, Keto's Brewing is here for you every single day. Come on by and experience the magic for yourself. Don't miss out on the vibes, the brews, and the memories waiting to be had at Keto's Brewing. See you guys there. So, Marcio, you just made us, which one is again for the espresso?
So, there's basically espresso shot that was made with Ethiopian coffee in bourbon barrels. And the Italian mocha, which was Colombian coffee, with the bourbon maple, Bourbon County barrel.
The maple one. Mm.
And that's what we have here right now.
So here, the espresso. This is the Ethiopian.
This is the Ethiopian, okay. Yeah. And that and the carafe has got the
maple.
Okay, the maple.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's nice and creamy. Look at the creaminess of the head.
You got to taste that difference, Mikey, for sure.
So I got the first one, which was not very as coarse, and the ratio was slightly off.
It was very thin, so the machine ended up a little bit higher side of the pressure.
Oh my God, I can't believe just that little bit of a tweak. Just
tweak on the pressure and the coarse. The first one was a little too coarse, and every coffee that you put on the machine, you have to adjust how coarse it's going to be and how much you're going to put on the pod, because that will make a difference in the pressure. So that machine was regulated for Brazilian coffee, and I just changed today to the Ethiopian. So I didn't set up yet perfectly. Right. So, but you can see the difference between a high pressure where you're going to extract more bitterness, more oak notes versus a lower coarse and less coffee on the pot, and the ratio going to go a little lower. You get all the other flavors.
Yeah, not complete difference, but there's a nuance to that right now.
Not everybody can afford that sweet unit you have over there for making espresso. If you have a basic unit, is there any recommendations on how to maximize the output?
Usually, all the machines above $150, you're going to have a gauge, a pressure gauge, and that will tell you what is the perfect place. Usually you have a number they call perfect zone. So it's something between, I don't know, 15 and 20 bars. It's on that range. You want to make sure that your machine when extracting is extracting on that range. If it's going above the range, then you're going to have bitter coffee. It's below that, you're going to have watery one. So the way you can adjust that volume of water, temperature, and also the most important thing going to be how coarse is your coffee. So if you have a way to do a little coarse, more coarse versus thin, you're going to get a little more flavors that are berry or other like floral notes or fruit notes. If you do too thin, then your pressure is going to be too high. You're going to get more bitterness, more boldness, also more body. That's a big difference also in body when you go to higher versus lower pressure extraction.
Boing, it just kicked me. The caffeine just like boing.
You just like
I'm just all of a sudden tweaking just like, right I'm now. Just like
Welcome. Good morning, Mikey. You're here.
I'm back. I'm back.
But for real, you can totally see difference in how we overpressurize one. And it almost tastes for me like I licked the rose petal, like that floral bitterness, and it just stayed right in the middle of my tongue. I mean, I can see a big difference in that. And we watched how it was made.
Yeah. I mean, who knew? I mean, it just you just tweaked the grind just slightly more coarse and just you add or back off pressure.
Less pressure.
Less pressure. Yeah. It's bizarre how just that little bit.
Yeah. No wonder this is your new hobby, Marcio. It's a fun little hobby to get in. I mean,
well, everything has science attached. I am interested. So
I mean, you are a scientist, right? So it makes sense.
It's not just a hobby. It's a lot of things to understand and learn as well. So learning and understanding coffee, it's science. So you just have to learn how things work, especially when it comes to the roasting process also. How can we get a better roasting? How can we, at least for me, extend the Maillard reaction, gets for me a better flavor. Some people prefer a short Maillard than high toast or high roasting profile. It's a personal taste. But also, one of the things I want to do, it's called cinnamon coffee. It's when it just do Maillard reaction, no roasting. So the grain becomes kind of brownish.
Really?
Yeah, it's called cinnamon coffee. It just go on the dry side and they start increasing the temperature until the first crack. And then when they hit the first crack, it stop. So they call cinnamon coffee. There is no development yet. It just Maillard reaction without roasting or toasting.
What flavors can we find from that?
You're going to get a lot of cinnamon flavor. This is what they call cinnamon toast or cinnamon level toast. Cinnamon flavors, a lot of the green coffee flavor are going to be present. So it's going to be more floral, more fruity. Will be basically little to no bitterness. Low to non-roast or toast notes. It's very interesting. Go to a side more spicy things. So that's one thing that I want to try with special ones that we're making right now. Especially the fermented beans that we're doing right now.
Fermented beans? All right. Can of worms. You're fermenting coffee beans?
Yes. So I got 1 5-gallon barrel, super tiny one, fresh. So there's no booze, there's nothing inside. I put 8 pounds of coffee, raised the humidity to 37%, and throw some Brettanomyces. And I mix the barrel, and it's over there. It's fermenting, it's generating CO2. You can see bubbles every 3-4 weeks. You'll see like 1 or 2 bubbles. So it's fermenting. And the whole idea when you ferment the coffee bean is to get those plum, stone fruit flavors to the bean. It's imagine like a Flanders when you got that lactic acid developing into those nice flavors. Uh-huh. That is the idea when you ferment beans with Brettanomyces. You want to inhale, it's going to be a very lactic acid, a little acetic acid forward. But then when you roast, that becomes more plum, peachy, cherry. It's deeper flavors of fruit.
That's crazy. I assume that's why you would use Brettanomyces because of those, that's those
because
fruity
acetic
and
acid
lactic qualities.
Yeah, because of acetic acid production.
But so what if like a regular, say, ale yeast?
We'll only do the lactic acid. We won't do the acetic acid. That's why I did the Brett, because I want the acetic acid being part of that thing.
Wow. Science. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Once you explain it that way, it's like, that makes sense. Oh, my God.
All right. So this, we're going to get into the Colombian with the Bourbon County barrel.
Yes, maple.
And maple.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try it. I think I'm going to try it first without any half and half and then dose it the way I like and see how it all changes.
You get some toast notes, some, I don't know, some coffee, like, of course, coffee, some toast roast notes, less barrel.
Mm-hmm. It's much more toasty than I thought it would be.
It's like the young oak taste, like that
very
wood taste.
Acid.
I don't know if
very fruity.
And it might be I'm a little influenced from the espresso and the previous, and the boldness of that. That is very good on its own, and I'd say I probably wouldn't even need a little splash of half and half in there because it is so it's so mellow.
The body is completely different, of course. You're talking about two different methods. One, it's way more body present. It's way stronger versus a Italian press that becomes a little less strong, especially because I did a kind of coarse ground, about 0 to 10, about 5. So if you do this in a one, very powdery, then becomes way more strong. But also you can have the chance, there's a slightly chance you can burn the coffee. That's a problem.
This one's way more delicate for me.
Very more delicate. Yeah. So the barrel is not over there, but it had a hint of oakness. And the maple, it's not that like strong.
Mm-mm. I thought I'd get like a maple syrup sweetness, as in like sugary sweetness, but I don't get a sugary sweetness at all.
That's perfect. That's pretty much right where I like it.
A little more acid too than the Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. Ethiopian's, it's known for being a little acid coffee, but not with the bourbon. I don't get much of the acidity on the Ethiopian, especially when we do it in espresso way.
You mentioned like overcooking coffee sometimes, and you can, you know, some people like it a little more strong, a little more intense. Can you add flavor? Can you actually add a little caramelization for an overcooking?
For sure, especially when you use fire. So doing Italian one, for sure, if you leave a little over, you can get some caramelization.
What are the pluses and minuses of that? Because sometimes...
It's for sure personal taste. You're going to get some of the toffee notes, some caramel, but there's a slight chance, depending on how long you leave, you're going to start to get way more burnt flavors. And then that sometimes is confused with bitterness. Usually burnt flavors is one thing. Bitterness is separate. Burnt taste, you're going to get right in the like front of the tongue, a little bit on the palate, on the top of the mouth. But the toast and roast, you're going to get more on at the end, more on the bitter side. So it's a different kind of bitterness. So it's very hard to get a perfect caramelization, a nice toffee caramel notes without burning. So it has to be very careful. The main thing that I do, it's put a little water inside of the top of the Italian press, because as the heat goes, the water inside will warm up. When the coffee, it start passing through, won't touch a hot surface. Will touch water.
Oh, okay.
And that will not burn the coffee.
Yeah, because that initial coming out will hit hot metal.
Hot metal.
Yeah.
So that will burn, and you're going to get this burned flavor.
Basically putting a beer stockling, it's like, burning it. Damn, it makes so much sense. Science.
There's nothing more I love than, I drive around a lot in the morning, and driving around, passing different roasters, and you just get that nice aroma of the caramelized process of where they're roasting the beans, and I don't know, it's one of those weird things you just it's almost like going to a brewery and on a mash day, and you get all that malt wafting in. It's kind of the same when you drive by a nice roasting place. And you're getting a lot of that this morning.
Is the smells of the day. Roasting in the morning, a nice bacon and onions in the lunchtime, and a nice beer malt being brewed at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. Those are the three smells that you want to...
And then that Del Taco at 2 a.m. Yeah. Mikey, I'm kind of envious of... I have a Freudenfreud right now of you... having those smells in the morning, because I'm just I-15. They get smog.
Yeah.
Not the best.
I mean, it's not all the time. It's one of those, nice things when you drive by a bakery early in the morning, and it's just one of those. It's like,
oh my God. I can't do the Starbucks. I mean, I have friends that live off Starbucks. That's fine. You know, it's quick, easy. It's been, you know, popular. But I like going to those, you know, smaller shops, like the Juice and Javas, the Beanies, the, you know, Grinds, all that stuff. I like to go there.
Yeah, Starbucks has their place for sure, but when there are so many great local options,
yeah,
I mean, you should, whenever possible, chase your local purveyors of coffee, whether they're roasting in-house or sourcing from local roasteries.
Yeah.
So much good stuff.
I like going to the actual roasteries because I feel like they've been more educated than a local barista. And so when I go to the roasteries, they know how to properly do a pour over. They're taking their time. It doesn't seem as rushed as if I go to somewhere else that there's a cool little coffee shop, but they seem to rush it just a little bit.
No, and there's, I mean, just in a mile radius of Salt Lake City, I mean, there are five or six excellent roasting houses.
But like we talked about, it, you know, making that coffee is like almost a ritual. It's kind of a culture. It's take your time, enjoy this cup of coffee, especially if you're getting it for that caffeine boost, or just kind of like a ritual, like I keep saying, a routine. And that's why I like taking time.
Yeah, and then you see all the small roasters in town. Those guys don't have those ginormous roasting machines. They're artisanal, small roasting. So, for example, the Urban Sailor guys, they roast twice a week. That's how fresh it's your roast, how fresh it's your coffee. These, every single roaster in town, there are small guys. So they're roasting fresh coffee every other week or every week. So support them instead.
Yeah, I know King's Peak, that's what we use over at Kitos, and, you know, good friends over there. And every Tuesday they're roasting.
Yep.
Fresh. Yep. So it's really cool. And I like specifically going in on that day because that's when you get that flavor. You open that door, boom.
And you need at least a day or two to let it rest, right? Because you've got to degas that CO2 from the roasting.
Yeah, so
right?
During fermentation, you have buckets of CO2 being formed inside of the beans. And that CO2 interferes a little bit with the flavor. It gives us more acidity when you brew with that fresh roasted bean. So about 3 to 4 days inside a bucket, moving every other day, that will degas slowly. The test we done was 1, 2, and 3 weeks after roasting, when was the best like time point to drink your coffee. And we found that sweet spot at around 10 days. So 10 days from roasting, it's kind of the perfect timing for the coffee.
So it's that long. I figured it was a couple days, but it can be up to
a week 2 weeks. Yeah, I have some coffee with 3 weeks old and still phenomenal. It's just a matter of get the time going. And also, there's a lot of CO2 release in production. So if your package it's tight seal, if you package right away, in a week or two, it can really get heavy in gas. And as soon as you open, it can pop coffee everywhere. So this is why I usually take about a week after roasting to package and send to the customers.
Mm. How much are you producing right now?
Right now, well, we just open for public on sales on about like 2 weeks ago. Before that, we were on the Kickstarter producing, so we have people help us to fund this company, and we're sending the perks and all the coffee to the Kickstarters. And now that we're selling, we have the first two batches roasted in the past 4 weeks. Nice. So we're roasting about 3 to 4 batches every 2 weeks.
Good. And you're going to get busier and busier, my man.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Oh, it makes me happy.
And like anybody who's barrel aging, I mean, the stuff that is coming out now has probably been sitting in barrels for how many months?
Right now, I have the Brazilian and the Java being the longest ones, about 28 weeks already. So almost 6 months. It's getting more and more bourbony or more boozy. Mm-hmm. But it's losing a little bit of complexity of the Irish green kind of notes. So I believe that timing also is something that we are learning, we're adjusting. So the coffee that got to that point, we believe is going to be a good blend later. But we got to put new barrels every 4 months or 3 months to get always like 15 weeks, no more than 20 weeks in the barrel. for the regular coffee. And whatever is longer than that, we're going to blend and create a blend later.
And to be clear, there's no alcohol in the coffee. No. It's all burned off.
All burned off.
But I will say, when I'm pouring my grounds, disposing of my grounds, and I run a little hot water through the disposal, it does smell a little boozy.
Yeah.
And it's really weird.
It does smell boozy, but...
But there's no...
We roast at 425, so that temperature, everything goes away.
Yeah.
We tested. I sent one of the cans to a company to test alcohol. They soak 1:1, which is a really high ratio, and zero alcohol. 0.0. No, 0.5. No, 0.0% alcohol.
Mm.
So there's no alcohol, although it smells.
Yeah.
And taste, like. Mm.
Another question for you. When you were making the espresso and that copper foam, what does that add? What creates it, and what complexity does it add?
So every single foam in beverages are made from proteins. So it's a protein. Most of the proteins are proteins that you can find in every single grain or seed in this case, right? We're talking about seed. Coffee, it's a seed. And that protein, it's formed under pressure. So if you don't use any kind of pressure, you're going to seep over and other things. You're not going to create the amount, because also it's a concentration goes low. When you espresso, so it's the shot's taken, it's being brewed, there is a lot of pressure happening, and also a concentration of the flavors. You concentrate also the protein. So the pressure and the protein create bubbles, tiny, tiny bubbles, and those bubbles are encapsulated by this protein thing, like a bubble, and that creates the foam. So the higher the pressure, you're usually going to get the better foam, but if you go too high, then your foam also going to start tasting bitter. So the pressure, it's very important for espresso, for getting a nice foam, but also not too bitter.
Mm.
So it's a fine line, definitely.
The fine line.
You want the foam there. You just don't want it overly done and overly bitter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at the most accurate you can go under 2:1 ratio, you're going to get better flavor with the foam. Sometimes you're going to get overly creamy, depending on the coffee you get. I found out that the barrel aging kind of strips a little bit of protein or mute. I don't know exactly what happened there. So if you get the same beans and roast and do the same ratio, I get a little better foam, actually.
Better foam?
Better foam.
Hmm.
I don't know why the barrel age kind of kills a little bit of foam, but still... rich and creamy, just not as rich and creamy was before the barrel.
Hmm. Do you think some are adhering to the barrel, possibly?
I think right now, at this point, it's humidity. I'm losing most of the humidity right now because, again, winter in Utah is very dry. Not this winter, though, but it's usually very dry. And humidity right now, it's below 20%. We're at 14% of barrels. So it's getting low. So I think it's time for us to roast the rest of the beans and start new barrels.
Mm.
Well, right. Or hydrate them.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
What are you doing with the barrels afterwards?
My plan is talk to the distilleries so they can age some whiskey back and then make a coffee whiskey.
That's cool.
Because I was just about to bring that up, because in the beer nerd in me is always thinking ahead. And I was, as the barrels impart flavor into the bean, I'm wondering if the bean is imparting anything into the barrel.
For sure, it can smell coffee, but it can smell green coffee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if that go back to a distillery, it's going to be kind of green coffee. So I believe if we fill up with whiskey and then soak beans, roasted beans, and make a coffee liquor or coffee whiskey.
Or a coffee beer.
Or a coffee beer.
I'm looking at you, pal.
What?
Looking at David. Like, looking at you, David.
God. Oh, my mind's going right now.
Barrel aged coffee beans, mm-hmm. beer.
Goddamn.
There's a there's a lot to play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine if you can get a lot of this coffee, because I know the guy who sells this coffee. And put this,
I know a guy.
Put this in a stout, and you can maybe get some of those flavors of the barrels, and you can call non-barrel, barrel-aged coffee stout.
Good God.
I mean, that's...
Good God. We're talking it, after it could, this. Yeah,
some real unique flavors from the from those green green beans.
Hard to roast the one.
Yeah.
This is so cool. There's so much we can do with that. Like, you kind of open, I don't know, it's just, we're all connected in this community, you know? Yep. It's just so cool to see how we can bounce these awesome ideas. I don't know. And that's why, you know, later, I mean, I brought the coffee cream ale from Keto's, and that one was, I'm trying really hard to bring that one back to just where Clay had it, you know, GABF gold medal 2018. Yep. And I've been working my ass off on this beer, you know? And I remember when the first one I gave you, it was like my first attempt. And this is like, I think my sixth attempt now. And I want, like, you know, the, I have one that has beans on there for 72 hours and one that had beans on there for 48 hours. And so you can see it completely different. Same bean, same roast, same batch, completely different. I mean, not completely different, but you can tell a difference.
Which one do you like most?
A little less time, for sure. I do whole beans. I do whole beans in the bright tank. They were doing it for 3 days. I went back to single origin instead of a blend. A Guatemalan bean. Mm-hmm. From King's Peak Coffee Roasters, and the only caveat to this one is I didn't degas it. I was kind of in a rush for beans, but I have the same batch sitting in Keto's waiting to go for the next batch next week, and that's been off gas for at least 2 weeks. I think that 10 to 14 days is great.
And one thing happens in beer or every beverage, the most contact time you have, the more the liquid will penetrate the center of the grain. In the center of the grain, it's not roasted. So the center of the grain is kind of like still green. So then if you leave it too long, what's going to happen is going to extract that green flavor that later on will become more peppery and jalapeno.
Yeah, that little pepper skin, yeah.
So ideal, it's less contact time and more beans to extract more of the flavor you're looking for versus the green pepper kind of flavor.
I'm guessing that's probably where, I mean, some coffee blends showcase those flavors.
Yep.
And I imagine that's how they do it, because I thought it was just maybe a specific type of coffee bean, like, I don't know, like Guatemalan seems to be a very peppery and chili forward coffee. And I imagine it's that sort of process.
It's that process and also oxidation. So coffee, when you're packaging your beer, and the coffee in that beer gets oxygen. One of the main things of oxidized coffee, it's peppery jalapeno flavors. So it has to be very careful with DO pickup, on especially those beers, and also less contact time. So it's like when you talk about hops, people are like, oh yeah, I'll leave my beer in hops for, I don't know, 7 days. 15 days. During the whole fermentation, I have hops into the... You're going to get some vegetable extraction, and the same thing is going to happen with coffee. So less contact time, increase your amount. Of course, you're going to increase your losses. Your yield is going to be a little less, but it's a better
product. Yeah, you want quality or what? You know, that's the nuances.
Yeah, and as we were, you know, just noticing when he was making the espresso and the difference in coarseness and pressure.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just trying to find that perfect blend, it can be almost impossible sometimes, because you may be getting the same exact bean or roast that you did a previous, but it could be tweaked slightly. And as we just noticed, how much it can change
the
flavor profile.
You know, I was watching a documentary the other day of the James Webb telescope. It took them about 20 years to get this telescope up and running in the space. They had 344 failure points in this, I think around that, 433, something like that, failure points. So I've been going lately in the brewery and thinking about when I get the malt in my hands, from then until I give it to my production team, how many in the brewery, how many failure points are there? If it takes, like, for example, let's just say hypothetically, I don't mill the grain like it should be. I'm not actually watching that grain being milled. That's a failure point. That could jeopardize down the line, right?
Yeah.
Or we're thinking about if I'm knocking out too slow or extremely fast, or I'm shearing things, and, you know, I just, there's failure points. So the roasters, whatever beans I'm getting from, I have to make sure they have to also have their failure points.
Yep.
So if they're not doing their job the best they can, then I'm now getting a low quality bean, putting it in my beverage that I didn't, you know, I could sit here and treat the beer like an all-star, and then all of a sudden on the canning line, didn't purge or whatever, oxidation. Yep. It's fucked. See ya. What? I spent, you know, 2 months on this beer. I bought all these beans, all this packaging, and it's just fucked.
And it's dying here on the line.
Yeah. And so it's really about what I try to, you know, I'm trying to create this family aspect at Kitos, and it's all about, what I've been saying a lot lately is find details, small details. It's all about small details. Like, small, you know, if you guys can pay attention to that small details, you guys will understand what's going on. And it's just, sometimes you gotta, someone said it, like, when you're in the woods, you don't realize you're in the woods when you're looking right at a tree. You gotta step back and realize you're in the woods. You gotta look past it. And so sometimes I have to, like, just step back from the beverage and be like, you know what? What can I, you know, just kind of like you're doing with the beans. Like, where can I, with temperature and pressure and how long I can pee in the barrel, how much acidity comes off of it, flavors. And it's just, man, it's a never ending. You gotta be humble. It's humbling for sure.
And it's one thing that I learned. It's really, really fun. I came from Brazil where we drink coffee, like, since we were a kid. Like, moms usually dip our breast fire in the coffee, like, here. go have a good day. And I grew up with regular coffee, like, burnt, very dark, whatever.
I think most of us did.
Yeah.
Folgers.
Yeah. Well, different from Brazil, Folgers are very coarse. In Brazil, it's very, very thin. It's almost powder. Mm. It's very thin because the ideas become too strong. So if you do the same level of water, you get overly strong coffee, and that's how we drink coffee there. But learning the source of the coffee, that's another huge game. Big companies with thousands or hundreds of thousands of acres of coffee selling to big companies versus local producers, co-ops, that marginalized communities. So you got, like, for example, Colombia one, it's 100% women in the coffee business. They're a small co-op with like 3 acres, 5 acres here and there, and they get together to harvest, package, and like dry and process and send to us. The Brazilian one that I'm getting is from a specific area, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm drinking Brazilian coffee. And you ask, well, what's the name? And they're like, Santos. I'm like, nah, you're drinking shit. Mm. You're drinking, like, you're getting your coffee properly grounded? And the person's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're getting husk, flower, leaf, piece of wood. You're getting all left behind on the port of Santos. Santos is the biggest port in Brazil. So when they're shipping, like, bulk coffee, everything they have, like, left behind in trucks or conveyors or sheeps or whatever that you have over there, they combine the thing, grind, and they sell as a Santos coffee. So that's the worst coffee you can have. But you can acquire that. You can buy that. You can buy the husks, only husk. Roasted husk.
Pass.
And people think, like, oh, yeah, that's a Brazilian thing. I'm like, no. You have to try the true thing. And then when you have access to buying those coffees, you're like, oh, these beans are made with this small community in this super small city in the countryside with a really good quality control. That for sure will make a difference on your final coffee in your table.
Damn. And it'd be cool. It's kind of like going to hop farms when you see, you know, how the process is made, going to an actual bean producer and watching the coffee beans being harvested. It'd be really cool to see those green beans or the red beans. I want to do that. It's my new goal.
No, I imagine it's its own magic, and I'm sure there are people that nerd out hard, like, you know, when you get around the fresh and wet hop season, when it's, you know, the harvest time.
I can only imagine.
All the fresh stuff. I can imagine there's a lot of guys that are just, you know, nerd hard. And, you know, real quick, Marcio, before I forget. The term single origin, since you're talking about the
source,
some of these vague sourcing options that are out there, what does that mean, single origin?
Well, and blends. You guys have mentioned blends a couple times.
My concept of single origin, it's coming from a single farm or co-op. So you guys have, it could be multiple plants. Usually don't. Usually just have one type of plant only. So like yeast, you have multiple strains. Okay, so you have multiple strains of coffee. Bourbon, yellow bourbon, carafe. There's like, I don't know, 200, 300 different kind of coffees. And usually each farm will grow only one type. Mm. And that is your single origin, single strain coffee. So, for example, our Brazilian is called Carmo de Minas. It's the name of the farm. They only grow bourbon. For example, they only grow yellow bourbon. And the highest, the altitude where it's grow, it makes a difference. Type of soil makes a difference as well. So, for example, Brazilian one, it's yellow bourbon type of coffee. On the altitude of between 900 and 1,000 feet high. So that is a given idea of how that coffee will taste. But if you go for Java, for example, Java has four different strains on the Java. Okay. I have no way to pronounce this. It's Andungazari, Borbor, Katrika, and Atgen. So four different strains, but it's from the same place.
So one
this is still a single origin. Even though it's four different strains, it's all coming from a collective called Frienza Collective on the West Java. So, and also the process, which it's dry and processed. There's a washed natural. So there's multiple ways to process that. And also that will influence the flavor. It's hard for us to get every single origin, every single process. Too much work. So we try to get the best one we can.
And I don't, maybe people don't, I'm sure people don't think about it, but there's the actual berry. I mean, that you were saying, you know, the bean is actually a seed and the seed comes from a berry or plant. The getting, you know, is that fruit utilized at all?
That's a damn good question.
Because there's, it's, you know, it seems, you know, it seems like it's just a forgotten or a thrown away part, or is it utilized at all?
Well, what I've been seeing is that outside part we call the cherry, that is dry out and become the husk that I mentioned. So still have a small aroma of coffee. It's very, very berry, barely no caffeine. And that thing can be used, especially in some beverages, to achieve that coffee without bitterness flavor. Mm. Because there's no caffeine. There's the roasting on the thing is more a dry versus a roasting thing. So it's used. And cosmetic also used to extract some color. Sometimes you get the red pigment or the green pigment from the skin. Mm-hmm. So it's not true, totally waste. It can be used for other things, but that is in the origin. That usually don't come to here. That stays over there.
Isn't that called cascara?
Cascara.
Yeah, that's right.
Brazil, it's very known for cascaras, especially when they used to mix. Folgers, for sure, is a 50% cascara.
No way.
Really?
I guarantee you. Hmm. They won't tell you, but yeah.
Damn. It's just so cool to see, you know, different beans and like different origins and the altitudes and the pressures. I'm assuming, because I know in vineyards, sometimes you get ocean water affecting the vineyard, and that ocean water can.
I can absolutely see that. I mean,
so I'm assuming the coffee would be the same way. Hops, you know, barley, all of it. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, you can tell any brewer. You know, your water chemistry will greatly affect how your beer is going to taste. And I imagine high altitude, low salinity versus, I don't know, I assume most coffees are cultivated higher altitudes.
Yeah. And also acidity of the soil plays a huge, huge thing in the coffee. You can get some coffees, especially Central Africa, you're going to find a lot of coffees that are very acid in low altitudes and really basic acidity in high altitudes. That's more due to wash out during the rain season. It end up forcing all this, all the calcium to deposit in the lower levels. So that is a very interesting thing, and it will contribute at the end on the final product. But your water, when you're passing a coffee or brewing a coffee, that's your main ingredient. So yeah. if you use like, I don't know, Ogden water, very heavy calcium, your pH is what, 8.2, 8.3. Yeah, your coffee gonna be less acid than the same grain, same thing in a house with softener.
Yeah, and I imagine there's some regions that are like heavily volcanic, and I imagine volcanic soil is very high in acid, mm-hmm. and versus some that are more, you know, rainforest, very, you know, you get all that tropical moisture, and it's, you know, very low in acid, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So some benefit from high acid and some don't, or is it just
not agriculturing? No. Yeah, it's going to be more in the tasting. Then you're going to be on the cultivar side. You might have different flavor. I don't know exactly if it will be any difference in production. Mm. I believe it won't have much difference. Because if there's a difference in production, they will go to a more acid-resistant varietal. And that will change a little bit the single origin. But... Mm.
Is there any coffee left in there? All this talk about coffee is making me
thirsty. All right. We can go for the next cold
one.
Brew.
We have another brew. We have the this cold one. Brew.
The Java.
The Java's next?
And the cold brew. Yeah, but do you guys want to tell me what you guys think about the cheese bread or the Brazilian pão de queijo? You guys are going to have to learn pão de queijo. I'm not going to say cheese bread anymore.
This
pão
is...
de queijo?
Pão.
Pão.
De queijo.
De queijo?
Yeah.
Pão de queijo. De queijo. Not cheese bread. You can't call it that.
No, definitely not. I was trying to, you know, give a good description. It's kind of like a pastry puff with
cheese.
With kind of cheese?
This would be probably some kind of queso fresco, but a cured queso fresco. So that's a very traditional Brazilian way to make a cheese.
And holy shit! I mean,
you could have probably like I could have a whole box of these. Unfortunately.
They're trouble.
Oh, yeah.
They are dangerous.
And you can find this frozen here in Utah.
Don't tell me that. I'd rather have handmade. How long does it take you to make this?
This is a frozen
Fuck. Fuck. I'll have all of it.
It's too much work.
Is it a pain in the ass to make?
Yeah, because this is made with yuca flour.
Okay.
And the yuca flour, there's two ways. You can make that just like a maize, like just the starch from the yuca flour. Mm. Which is very powdery and weird to work with. And as soon as you start like moving with eggs and milk and the cheese, that thing can go south so fast that I'm like, not doing. And too much work. Yeah, it can buy frozen at any Latin American store.
Done. Sold.
Yeah, it's not like it wasn't cheesy enough, and then you put a tub of cream cheese in front of it, and then I put that on there. I'm like, oh my, this is good.
So you guys enjoy. I'm going to pick up the... cold brew coffee.
Okay, we'll be right back. Looking for the ultimate brew pub experience in Sugar House? Well, look no further than Hopkins Brewing Company. It's not just about them, it's about you and the unforgettable moments you'll create there. Picture yourself surrounded by a vibrant atmosphere with a constantly rotating selection of beautiful craft brews. From live music to trivia nights, there's always something happening to keep the fun going. And let's talk about the food. Indulgent burgers, savory appetizers, and irresistible desserts await to tantalize your taste buds. Plus, here's something special for you. Use the code TASTEMASTERS at the end of your meal to enjoy an exclusive 10% discount on all food items. So why wait? Gather your friends and join the community at Hopkins Brewing Company for an experience crafted in your mind. See you there. Are you ready to elevate your coffee experience? Introducing King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where passion meets precision. Crafted by artists who understand the essence of human connection and culture, their consciously sourced specialty-grade coffee beans are meticulously roasted to perfection right here in Salt Lake City.
Experience the difference with King's Peak Coffee Roasters. Elevate your mornings, elevate your days, visit their website, or stop by their cafe today. King's Peak Coffee Roasters, opened every day. They promise every sip is worth it. See you guys at King's Peak. Marshall, what did you just pour for us?
Did you hear that?
Boy, I'll tell you, if there's such a thing as coffee porn, it's sitting in front of me right now.
This is the Java beans in rye barrel. And I did a 5-to-1 ratio on cold brew. So it was coarse grind since yesterday. It was about 17 hours in the water. And I just finished pressing on the French press. And to be fancy, the top of that has a vanilla sweet cream.
I don't even want to touch it. Just want to look at it.
Yeah, I'm too busy taking photos.
Mikey and I just taking pictures like goobers.
Served over ice.
So I noticed you guys were tag teaming the French press.
Oh yeah.
Like with the espresso, you don't want to don't want to put all your weight on it. You want to slowly
let pushing it down. Yeah.
Like the same, just to affect the flavor, and
it was a workout.
No, it was not a quick press. I mean,
it was
probably a good, you know, five to seven minutes. Yeah. So yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, thanks, Marcio. Why do you spoil every time?
Because I want you guys to come back.
What are you doing next week?
Oh man. And you dressed up the foam and cream.
Yeah.
What's going on in there?
So that was a half and a half, simple syrup and vanilla extract. And then very cold, it just blend a little bit and become like a very nice cream.
Yeah. And maybe it's because it's cold, but the barrel is very prominent in this particular blend.
The barrel, it's high, but keep in mind the Java coffee, it's very spicy coffee too. So by being very spicy, the rye pushed it up. So it is the kind of thing of a more and more. So very spicy with a spicy thing.
I love this. Oh my goodness. I'm not a big cold brew guy, but
I love cold brew.
This is my next.
I love it so much, and this is heaven. And
for the summer, we are experimenting right now. The idea is getting some very, very, those very old beans, like 27, 30, 30 weeks, that's super barrel, that we're going to roast them, make a cold brew, and then put in a bourbon barrel. Hmm. And age, a cold brew, barrel aged.
Oh, my God.
The only problem is there's alcohol in the barrel. So I'm going to end up extracting some alcohol on that liquid. So we are working right now in order to do a very concentrated cold brew in a very concentrated, like super, super concentrated, put in the barrel, about 4 times concentration. Then when we extract that from the barrel, we got to dilute that up to 0.5% to be considered non-alcoholic.
So concentrate it so you can dilute it down to get it below that threshold. Yeah.
We're probably gonna dilute that with coffee, cold brew coffee, from our barrels. But the idea is we're gonna have to blend the barrel aged coffee brew, cold brew, because we're gonna extract some sugar, some alcohol for sure.
That's pretty cool. I don't know why I never, because I've had a couple of different blends of your barrels, and I don't know. It just never occurred to me to make a cold brew. And I think it absolutely is showcasing the barrel just because of the temperature it's at, I think. I mean, you definitely get it. I think the end of the espresso shot, I just swigged the rest of it, and it was like, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. But this is so brilliant. Thank you for making this. Yeah.
And this is the one that I like to go extra mile.
Oh, boy.
And add some Bailey's to it.
Well, boys,
all right,
buckle up. No, but it smells like ice cream when you first bring it to your nose, and then that flavor is just insane.
I mean, because you are getting, I mean, I do get some of the oak in there for sure.
It's very oaky for sure.
And I didn't think I would.
The rye whiskey from Sugar House, it is very oaky and very spicy. Is the way that I like my rye. For example, if you get the rye from Bullet, for example, it's much more sweet, much more subtle.
You gotta mix that Bailey's in.
Oh my God, that's a now dangerous. It's
perfect.
That's a dangerous drink. Right? Yeah, and we have donuts to pair with. God.
We have donuts from Fresh Donut.
Yeah.
That place, it's so good.
Oh, man.
Which one do you want to do it? We have...
Yes, but these. Oh, my God.
Maple glazed, old-fashioned, just sugar-coated. Oh, my. The raspberry filled.
I don't know. I think I want to split chocolate. One. You want to split one with me?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Probably. Probably a split is the best.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to put this in front of you. Yeah. I'll move shit.
Whatever you guys want to pair it with this, I thought the sweetness.
I think the man. I don't know.
The
old fashioned might be the one to try it with.
Go for it.
You want to split that, Mikey?
Sure.
You got a cleaner knife than I do. Throw it on this the old napkin. Oh yeah, I'll try it. Right, Marcy, you want some of this?
Okay. Yes.
I'll just make this into quarters. How about that?
Awesome.
Good for you. I love you.
All right. So, yeah. This
you want to have me your plate there, Marcio?
Oh, yeah. This went decadent really fast.
Yeah.
So, these coffee with Bailey's, it's my favorite for the summer. So, keep eyes on summer Bailey's.
Yeah, Marcio's house.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm kind of backtracking. So, this Colombian...
No,
this is Java.
Java.
And the Java has four different beans, but it's still the single origin.
Single origin, yeah. It's the same collective. This is a very small community in Indonesia. It's about 15 producers. They employ 400 people through harvest processing, agriculture time. So I try to select only small collectives, only small co-ops with very marginalized communities and try to help as much we can. The price difference, it's quite big, but we are not in volume. We are quality and try to help others as well. So that's our philosophy in choosing the best and more ecological, environmental source possible.
Yeah. From artesian to artesian. Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me. I just got that jolt, Mike, you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wee!
So how do you get, are you available in the storefront or are you just online?
We are 100% online right now. Mm-hmm. Spiritsofcoffee.com. And today we are releasing for you, everyone is listening to this, a discount coupon. It's Tastemaster 10 for 10% of every single order. We're a small company. We're starting right now. So we are giving 7 to 10 days to shipping your product because we're going to roast to the order. And we have to get that week of the gas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're 100% online. But I can deliver to you.
We know a guy.
I know a guy.
And I love the packaging. I love the fact that you've put these into
32-ounce crawlers.
Crawlers. Yeah. And they seal really well. And I've noticed, some of the beans, I mean, they're...
You can get a little ghastly.
Yeah. They do. Mm-hmm. Every time you open it, I mean, it seals up really well. You're not getting anything stale for sure. And I think the packaging is brilliant.
And we got the 12-ounce and the 3-ounce one. The 12-ounce, it's sold for $28. The 3-ounce, it's sold for $10. And if you buy a gift pack, which is a 4 3-ounce, there's a discount. It comes in a nice box with, like, things inside to be, like, more a gift. And the 12 ounce can be bought in a kit of four as well. There's a discount as well, but there's no fancy package. This is a lot. Coffee.
Are you going to have some staples that will always be there and then mix in some rotating for now, barrels and blends? Yeah.
For now, the staples going to be Ethiopian in bourbon, Brazilian in single malt, and Java in rye. Those three, and the Mexican in rye as well. Those four are our staples, and we gonna introducing slowly new and maybe exclusive ones. Right now, there's two new ones: the Colombian in maple bourbon.
Yeah, that was delicious.
And the Guatemalan in gin barrel.
Oh, whose gin do we use?
We use the Holystone gin.
Of course, they're making some of the best gin in town.
I agree. That gin is phenomenal, and we like, I talked to him, like, I have a barrel here. We dumped a few months ago.
Yeah.
It's a little dry, but I'm like, oh, let it try. And it's very gin pronounced.
Yeah. Did you do his Navy Strength gin or his Cerulea gin? His Cerulea gin.
I don't remember. Good question.
The Cerulea gin is the one that they put the butterfly pea flower in. And the other one's the higher proof.
I think it's the higher proof. I don't think they barrel aged the
Cerulea. Yeah, you're right. Cerulea. Oof.
I'm really curious to see what gin does to those beans. Well, I'd imagine you're probably getting some of the... I mean, they're very botanical.
Very botanical. They're super, super juniper. So I imagine we're going to get some of those flavors. I don't have any here right now.
Next episode.
But I can definitely make some later.
You're the worst host ever.
as you hold your glass up.
As I get my goblet up.
Oh, actually, look what I just found.
Oh boy. Oh
God.
The Guatemalan gin.
Oh. Is it really?
Yep.
I need to smell that.
I love it.
The juniper, it's present.
Oh my.
It's
very interesting.
Yeah.
Man, I'm curious.
We can brew that.
Holy
shit. Tell me how you want that being brewed. We can make it happen.
Oh, man. That's my last time I chose Italian. I'm all about Italian. I say espresso.
Why?
Oh, man.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
let's make espresso later.
Espresso, yeah.
And try it.
Have you thought about it? Because you used a Sugar House Distillery. So I like how you're using local barrels.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about other distillers to use?
I prefer the local barrels first. That was my goal to get the first round. Mm. So... not every single distillery in town has barrels and small barrels. The only problem for me, it's a big barrel, demands a lot of coffee. And if it doesn't turn out good, I'm going to be losing a lot of coffee. So you have to fill up at least a third of the barrel to not leave too much space. And a big barrel, a third of that, it would be 140 to 200 pounds. Wow. So it's a lot of coffee, too.
A lot of youth rolling around on Friday.
Yeah. So you're probably using a lot of quarter barrels?
Oh, I'm using all 30-gallon ones. 30 and 15s. I have both. Mm. My goal is getting some rum barrels. I talked to Outlaw Distillery, and they're right now barrel aging one rum and... we got to get that barrel later.
Ah, sounds great.
There is some bitters and herbs from...
Bitters Lab?
No, Water Pocket. From Water Pocket.
Yeah.
And that is a possible later. They don't have any empty right now, but as soon as I have an empty, that's one that I'm looking for.
That could be really interesting. An herbal liqueur in a barrel could...
And since we have a lot of people listen to this, hey, hi, Wes. Let's go. Let's talk, because in front of my package we have the logo from the distillery, and iOS is a little complicated to get that authorized to use the logo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a big company. It's Constellation. Yeah, they're big. They're big.
Hey, I'm a small guy. Let's make Utah a good company.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, right.
Amen.
But yeah, and then. I envy in a few years start using big brands like Woodford, Bourbon Trace, Bullet, name it, right? Those big guys. I want the same bean being different barrels so people can taste different whiskeys or bourbon difference in the same barrel.
Yeah.
Same bean, sorry. So, you know, this kind of experience, I think it's really cool.
Oh, Marcy, I'm excited for you. I see a huge potential with this. This is tasting amazing. I think Mikey and I have been,
spoiled.
We talk beer all the time. I mean, you talk beer all the time. Right. Now you talk cider, now you talk coffee. What can't you do, brother? Fuck.
Who knows?
I do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to, you know, host us and share your beautiful spirits of coffee.
Oh, man, I'm happy you guys are here. And I keep saying, come back anytime. I would love to cook for you guys.
Oh, yeah, we'll be here in the summer.
I would love for you to cook for me.
Oh, yeah. Let's grill some picanhas and drink some ciders.
Amen to that.
And then we start off with a nightcap. This is what we start off with right here. This is going to be a great winter drink, right? Or a summertime drink.
I agree.
Oh, my God. Well, gentlemen, let's cut it off right here. I know we're busy. We have a lot to do. We have a lot of drinking to do right now.
Yep. I have a lot to grill, too.
But I want you guys to thank you for being here. And, Marcio, good luck. And, again, like Marcio said, all online, Spirits of Coffee. And use code TASTEMASTERS1010, TASTEMASTERS10, to get 10% off your order. Support local.
Woo-hoo. Support local.
Thanks, gentlemen. Until the next coffee, yeah?
Until next coffee.
Salud.
Salud.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters, Twitter at @thetastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.